I guess if I was going to try to put a topic to this, I would probably say sacrificed must cost. And so I'd like to turn to 1 Chronicles. Appreciate your prayers this morning. Pray the Lord would bless us to get the thought. Chronicles chapter 21. So just as a little bit of a background here, David was tempted of the devil, which verse 1 says in this chapter, it says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." And so David, you know, through temptation or whatever, decided he was going to number the children of Israel. And what that represented was him basically wanting to know what the numbers are. How powerful are we? Are we able to meet another military force? And what size of force would we be able to meet with the number of soldiers that we have? And all that frame of mind or thinking seems logical on a humanistic point of view. But God took that as an offensive thing. Because God was basically their king and their Lord, and he was their protection. He was the one that was providing victory to them, no matter what the odds were, no matter how many the number, no matter how many soldiers they had, it didn't matter, because they were trusting and believing in God for their protection. If they had 500 soldiers and the other army had 300,000, it didn't matter, because they had God on their side. And so he wanted them to be able to have that faith and that maintain that faith in God. And so that is essentially why it displeased the Lord that David had numbered the children of Israel, because it insinuated a concern almost, or like a worry or a lack of faith in God. And so Satan tempted David to number the people, and so he did. He sent Joab out. He said, "I want you to go and number all the armed men, or those who are willing or able to use a sword, and bring that number back to me." And it says in the story that Joab was displeased with that idea, and even told David so. But nevertheless, David was the king, and so he went about to do what David had asked of him to do. And he went and he numbered the children of Israel. And it says, however, he didn't give David the complete number, because the command displeased him, or he felt like it was inappropriate to do that. And so he brings the number to David, and it comes to pass that the prophet Gad came to David to talk to him about what he had done. And let's see. We start at verse 18. "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." So basically what had happened was Gad had come and told David that what he had done was wrong. It was displeasing unto the Lord. And the Lord had given David an option of how he would desire to be disciplined, I guess you could say, over it. And the Lord told him, you can either run from your enemies for, I think it was 3 months or something like that, or there could be a pestilence in the land, or there could be a famine. And so David presented his case to the Lord and said, "Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, because I know that you're merciful, and so let me fall into your hands and do with me as you will." All right? And so there was going to come a discipline over this, or there was going to come difficulty as a result of this. The children of Israel were going to be struck for this. And so he tells him, "I want you to go to the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite." And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his 4 sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And I should mention too that what God had determined to do was bring about a pestilence. And there was a number of people that were killed as a result of this pestilence, all right? And it says, and as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Now the Jebusites, they weren't children of Israel. They were the people of the land. They were basically Canaanites that were never overtaken, that the children of Israel never actually defeated them completely, and so they remained in the land. And so Ornan wasn't even really an Israelite, okay? Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." So David comes to Ornan. He's not, like I said, he's not an Israelite. However, he is submitted unto the reign of David and to Israel in that regard. And so David comes to him and says, I need this land. I need this place in order to make an offering unto the Lord. And he says, I want you to charge me whatever it costs. Whatever this, the value is, I want you to charge me that. And it says, and Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. So I just thought that was so special that this man that's not even an Israelite is willing to just give it all. He's like, look, just do what you have to do. The land is yours. I'll give you the oxen that you need. I'll give you the wheat that you need. I'll give you the instruments of service that you need. Just do what you have to do. Right? And I look at that and I think a lot of people would have been like, great. You know what I mean? Let's do it. But what really stands out to me, and I don't know, I really look at this as something that's very special to me anyways, where Ornan is, he's willing to give everything there is necessary for this sacrifice to take place. Did Ornan count the people? Did Ornan give that command? Did Ornan bring about this situation where Israel is suffering through pestilence? Was it his fault? No. But he wanted to step in. He wanted to be involved in a solution for this. He wanted to be involved in an act of worship unto God, in an act of a desire for mercy, or in an act of maybe gratefulness that the Lord was staying his hand. And so he's willing to give everything that he had that would be necessary for that. And in verse 24 it says, and King David said to Ornan, nay, no, but I will verily buy it for the full price. You know, I think sometimes it's easy for us to just say, yeah, just, all right, you want to throw in? All right, give me that. You know what I mean? And, oh, you want to throw that in too? Okay, we'll take that. We need this. And he could have easily received from the hand of Ornan all the gifts that he was offering. He was right there to his hands probably. And really, he was just going to pay him the value of it anyways. But David tells him, no, I'm not going to do that. But you're going to pay, you're going to charge me the full price of it. And this is why he says, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. I'm not going to make a sacrifice unto my God that costs me nothing. I'm not going to make an offering or a form of worship unto the Lord that doesn't cost me anything. And it's basically at the price of your hand, that you're the one that's sacrificing, really, right? If he had taken it from his hand and didn't pay it all for it or give him anything for it, that wouldn't have been his sacrifice. That would have been Ornan's sacrifice, right? He was the one that was laying it out there. He was the one that was providing the necessity for this offering. And so David is saying it's not going to happen like that because this is my sacrifice. I'm sacrificing it to the Lord. And it's going to cost me something. The value of the sacrifice is in the very fact that it does cost something. That it does have value. That it does mean something. A sacrifice should have value to it. It should cost something. If it doesn't cost us anything, then it's not really a sacrifice. And that was what David was telling him, that how can I do that thing? How can I do this and receive of your hand and then call it my sacrifice? Because he was the one that was crying out unto the Lord. He was the one that was saying, Lord, the children of Israel, they hadn't done anything wrong. It was me that did it. Let it be upon my house. Let this sickness or this disease be upon my house because I was the one that decided I was going to number the children of Israel. Don't let it fall on them. And so he's crying out to God in mercy and saying, Lord, have mercy on us. Please stop your hand. Please stop this pestilence from destroying your people. And that is a supplication that he brings before God with a sacrifice. And how is that really a sacrifice if it didn't cost him anything, if there was no value to it? And so he wants there to be a cost. Thank the Lord. And I was thinking about the Passover lamb. You know, when God was about to bring about the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, that he told them, he said, look, this is the last one right here. You know, you're gonna leave here tonight. And this is what I want you to do. I want you all to get yourselves a lamb together. And I want you to get it prepped and get it ready. And I want you to use the blood from this lamb. And I want you to put it on the doorpost of your doors. I want you to do this particular method with this lamb. It's going to be called the Passover lamb. And if you do what the Lord is asking of you to do, the death angel is going to come and he's going to bypass your house. And no one in your home is going to be scathed by this death angel, right? Well, the Egyptians, obviously, they didn't do that, right? And so when the death angel came through, it says that their firstborn sons died. And so the children of Israel, those who followed the path that God had given it to them or did what the Lord had asked them to do, they did not suffer that loss. And in that evening, it says that they were taken off and they were able to leave Egypt. And Pharaoh was like, get out of here. You guys just leave. You're being more trouble to me than you're worth. And so go serve your gods and just leave us, right? And so the children of Israel left that evening. But that price that was paid, that lamb sacrifice, was a representation of what Jesus Christ was going to do for you and for me. He is that lamb. He is the lamb which takes away the sin of the world. And so when we apply his blood unto the doorpost, if you will, of our hearts, the death angel passes over us and we're saved. And so what I want to read as a result of that, the reason why I brought that to light with us is for this reason. Let's go to Numbers chapter 3. So God had given them the means for being delivered and the means for being saved from having the death angel come and take away their firstborn sons, right? And so in Numbers chapter 3, verse 45, we'll start at 44. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. So basically what had happened was, because the children of Israel were spared, and because they didn't lose any of their firstborn, whether it be a firstborn son or firstborn out of their cattle or whatever, that now belonged to God. They were spared. There was a redemption that took place. And so God had said, now you owe me, essentially, the firstborn. And so what he had done is, rather than take the price from every tribe, you know, the firstborn of each, he said, give me the Levites instead. And then they were to pay him whatever the extra would be for that price of redemption. Okay? And so that act of deliverance, God delivered them, God saved them, but yet there was still a cost, if you will. Now, if you think about it, you know, the real cost was that they would have been back in Egypt. They'd have stayed in Egypt and they would have been slaves still, and they would have, you know, died under the hands of the Egyptians. That was the real cost. But out of deliverance, God delivered them out of that, promised them a land that flows with milk and honey. And yet, in order to obtain that, they had to follow the Lord, right? They had to, like we this morning, do the will of God. Follow the Lord. And in doing that, in a way, the cost is yourself. The cost really is essentially yourself in that. Just like we talked about this morning, in that to do the will of God, you really have to be willing to sacrifice your own will. And utilizing your will to do the will of God. And, you know, this sentiment that is being said here, really, you know, God bought them, right? Well, the scripture says that we were bought with a price, right? Our deliverance was at a cost. Jesus paid that cost. He shed his blood on a cross. He was willing to go through that suffering and shame, and that sacrifice did cost him something for our deliverance, for our salvation. And if I was to do that for you right now, I mean, it's just common for people to say, I owe you. I owe you my life. And I'll tell you, there was a time in my life where I should have been dead. And when I came out of that situation, not dead, essentially, right? When I came out of that, I really felt within my heart that I owed God my life. Because he bought my life, or he delivered me, he saved me, not just spiritually, but physically. And now I felt like my life should belong to him. And everything that I live from this day forward was purchased by God. I wouldn't have these days to live. I wouldn't be breathing in and out air right now if it wasn't for the mercy of God and his deliverance in my life. I wouldn't be to this day at all. And so, essentially, it belongs to God. And we can ask ourselves, well, okay, well, so I'm a servant either way? Yes. We are servants either way. Either you're going to serve the devil, or you're going to serve God. The children of Israel had the choice. They could have served the Egyptians. And they at one point they thought, well, we should have just stayed in Egypt if all this, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, I think sometimes there's Christians that have similar ideas, you know, that, well, this is tough, you know what I mean? It may have been better if I had never got saved. And it's because of what they perceive should happen as a result of it. But we're going to serve one way or the other. And if they had continued to serve the Egyptians, they would have been in Egypt, and they would have been suffering the whip, and they would have been continuing to be under the burdens. And it says in the scriptures that they were complaining and whining to God for deliverance. And so they would have had to go back to that as well. But what was the cost for serving the Lord? What was the cost for obeying God? He's going to take them to a land that flows with milk and honey. He's going to deliver their enemies into their hands. He's going to provide for them and sustain them. He's going to feed them in the wilderness. He's going to give them drink in the wilderness. These are the things that come with putting ourselves under the yoke, if you will, of our master, the Lord. It's blessings. It's protection. It's care. You know, they wandered about in the wilderness for 40 years and weren't sick. It says that the clothes on their backs didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God took care of them. And we can look at it like that there's a cost. This is a cost. Yes, it's a cost. There is a cost. But I'm going to tell you that the cost is well worth the blessing. The cost of ourselves, essentially, which, I mean, the devil would have us to fret about and worry about, and how can I give of myself? How can I give myself? How can I relinquish power to God? How can I relinquish the ability to do whatever I want to do to God? As if that in and of itself is some horrific thing that could happen. Because we're somehow imagining relinquishing that power unto a Pharaoh that has a whip and is wanting us to build bricks without straw and is you know, putting huge masses of burdens upon us. Somehow that's what we imagine is going to come as a result of relinquishing ourselves into someone. But the reality is if we can relinquish ourselves into God, that He is not Pharaoh, and He's not the one holding the whip, but rather He's the one that wants to bring us into the land that flows with milk and honey. You know, we sang the song, God's Way is Best, and the reality is because when we're following His path and not going about our own path, He's leading us into that land. But to go our own path is like we mentioned in Sunday school too, that Jonah went his own path, which was away from God. He was getting further away from God rather than closer to the blessing, rather than closer to what God had for him, the blessings that God had for him. He was going away from it by walking in his own way, in his own selfish desires or plans. So, we go to Luke. Luke 14 and 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So, you know, when you look at what he's saying there, it makes sense that you would say, yes, a person that's getting ready to build a tower, he ought to make sure that he has enough to finish it, to make sure that he's going to have enough material or enough money to finish it or see it all the way through. You still see it today where there's things that are half built that get lied waste and it just becomes an utter waste because somebody didn't have the foresight or conditions came about that created a problem that they didn't foresee and they were unable to finish. Or it makes sense to, for a king that has somebody coming up against him to consider whether he has the ability or power to overtake this person that's coming. And if not, that he would somehow desire conditions of peace to keep from having to be destroyed, if you will. And so that all makes sense. And so when we say, count the cost, and if I put that towards counting the cost of serving the Lord, we say, have you counted the cost? And ultimately the cost, like we said before, is ourselves. The cost is self. And are we willing to put ourselves under the yoke of God? Are we willing to be the Levite? The one that basically they became God's people. In a sense, you're God's tribe, if you will. And they worked in the temple. They did the works of God. They did the things of offering the sacrifices. And that was their job. That was their function. They were the Lord's. And the Lord wants us to be kings and priests. And so I think it's very appropriate to apply who we are today to them. And so what is the cost? The cost is you. Are you willing to sacrifice self in order to serve the Lord? And that's what verse 33 is saying. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He's basically saying it's going to cost you everything. That is the cost. And we would look at that and maybe you ought to look at that and consider it well. When you're thinking about giving your heart to the Lord and you're thinking about taking on this path that He has set before you, because it's not a demand in the sense that you're going to do it or else. That's really not God's doing. He's not really saying to us to do it or else, in the sense that serve me or I'll kill you. It's serve me or you'll die. In other words, what I'm saying in that is that God knows the results of not serving Him. He knows what's going to happen eternally if we refuse Him. If we deny Him, or if we don't follow Him, just like the children of Israel in Egypt, if they refused to follow and to be led out of Israel, Egypt, they would have remained right where they were. And it would have been utter destruction for them as a people. And so God knows what's going to happen if we refuse. So He told Eve and Adam, you shall surely die. And what that meant was there was going to be a separation. God was their life source. And there brought about a separation between them and God in that. They got further away from God as a result of doing their own will or their own desire. And so there is a cost. There's a cost to serving the Lord. There's a cost for the salvation. We're not paying the price for our salvation. Don't get me wrong. Jesus Christ paid the price for your salvation. But for you to walk in it, for you to live in it, you're going to have to pay a price of yourself. In order to follow God, in order to do His will, in order to walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, in order to be led into the land of Canaan, for righteousness and holiness and godliness, in order to be led in that, you have to resist yourself and follow God. It's just the point of it. It's just that's what has to happen. And the question is, are you willing to pay that price? Is it a sacrifice? Yes. It is a sacrifice. And it's a very valuable. It's costing you a lot to do that. And I'm not going to sit here and try to say it doesn't. But if you are able to surrender yourself unto God and pay the price essentially of yourself or your ability to do whatever you want and say whatever you want and go wherever you want, and I can do this if I want to, and the scripture would talk about it as a person that does everything that's right in their own minds. In other words, if I think it's right to do, I'll do it. I don't care if they don't think it's right. I don't care if it hurts them. I don't care if they suffer a loss because of it. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we have that right, essentially. But it comes at a cost too. So we're asking ourselves, do I pay the price? Do I count the cost? And do I relinquish myself unto God? Or do I hold on to it, self, do what I want to do, and pay that cost? Because there is a cost to pay. One way or the other, we will pay a cost. First Samuel. This is what I imagine, or kind of a picture I have of the cost for wanting to preserve self, or to follow after self. In Samuel chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, 'Make a covenant with us and we will serve thee.'" So here this guy is coming and he's encamping around this city. And basically they know he's going to take them out. He's going to destroy them. And so they're asking him for conditions of peace. Okay? They're saying, "We don't want to be destroyed. We don't want to, you know, fall victim unto you. And so what can we do to save ourselves?" Essentially, right? "And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, 'On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel.' And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, 'Give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee.'" To me, that is what the devil is offering us, essentially. Yeah, there's a price for you to preserve yourself. Give me your right eye. And then you're going to serve me too. And you're going to be subservient to me as well. And that is his cost, if you will. You know, we look at the cost of serving the Lord and we think of how much it's going to come against us, and, well, I have to relinquish so much, you know. But when you think about the idea, if you will, of holding on to self and what that costs, it costs a lot of heartache. It costs a lot of trouble. It costs a lot of sleepless nights. It costs a lot of sicknesses and diseases. And those are the things that come along with doing it your own way or going your own path. You don't realize it because you think you maybe have everything under control. You know what's best for you at every given situation. But you can't see the future. You can't see everything. And you don't know what you're about to face or what you're going to have to come against. And I know every one of us has been able to come against something that we were powerless to overcome, that we were powerless to meet. And yet we're left with self to try to defeat it because we have rejected God or went away from God and went about to do things our own way. And so now we have to meet all these things on our own. And that is the cost of preserving self and preserving what we value or what we think is best I don't care what God says. I don't care what he thinks or what his plans are or his purposes are, but I just gotta have this. I've just gotta keep this. I can't let go of it. I can't give it up. But yet that is the thing that could very well be to your detriment. There is a price to pay. And I think sometimes and very often when we face situations where the devil is tempting us or pushing us and saying, look it, see what this is going to do. If you follow what God says, this is what you're missing out on. Isn't that what he did with Eve? He said, well, why wouldn't he want you to eat of this tree? It's good for food. It's good to make one wise. It's, you know, all these things that he's presenting to her. But he didn't present what the other cost was. She had a huge blessing that when God would come in the cool of day, he would interact with them and they would have fellowship and they had a sweet communion one with another. He didn't bring about that cost up to them. When he was presenting his case, he was just sharing with her what the cost was going to be, essentially, in obeying the Lord. You're going to miss out on so much. But I have to believe that when they realized that it affected their relationship with God, that they saw that the price was much bigger than they had anticipated. And I believe that we will come to that realization ourselves too. When we forsake the Lord and we go our own way, we will eventually come to the realization that this costs a lot.
Yes, that's true.
You know, I thought it was going to cost giving myself to God. That I thought it was going to cost giving my life to the Lord and living the path that he had set for me. I thought that was a huge cost. But this is so much more.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 and 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So to preserve self or to preserve, you know, you're right, if you will, to do whatever you want to do, you're going to lose in that. You're going to pay a price and you're going to lose your life, essentially, for, like she said, eternity. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Or if we were able to give ourselves unto the Lord and lose ourselves in a sense, and that it's not my will, but thy will be done. And have that frame of mind or that purpose of heart within us. That yes, we may lose our identity, if you will, or whatever you want to call it. But we're gaining eternal life with Christ. And so the one, yes, you pay a price of preserving self, but you gain eternal death. And the other, you lose yourself and you gain eternal life. And so there's a price to pay either way, but I would say that the benefits far outweigh the cost when you go and follow the Lord. I go back to what David had said, you know, I'm not going to present a sacrifice unto the Lord that doesn't cost me anything. And essentially the offering or the sacrifice that's pleasing unto God or that is acceptable unto God is yourself. It's you. Because there's nothing more that will produce what is necessary for us to gain the blessing. We have to give ourselves. Because if we don't, then we're not following God. And if we're not following God, then we're getting further away from the blessings. And so it has to happen this way. where we surrender ourselves and our wills and our desires and everything into God and allow Him to have ourselves. And then He can give us all the good things that He has for us. And He can bring about the blessings that we desire in our lives. And He can give us many of the things that we desire anyway, that we think that we're holding on to by holding on to self. But the reality is, if we can give up of ourselves, God can still bless us with those things. He's not saying that you can't, that you're not going to get it, essentially, if you follow Him. He's just saying that He wants us to relinquish that into His hands and trust His goodness, trust His mercy, trust His wisdom and knowledge and understanding and how to direct our lives to bring us into a blessed end. And if we can have that faith in Him, to surrender ourselves into Him, He's going to bring us into a good land. That land that flows with milk and honey. You know, and I don't know. Maybe I'm weird, you know, but when I think of David and he's saying, I am not going to give an offering or a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I want to feel it. I want it to be valuable. I want it to mean something. I want my devotion unto the Lord, my consecration unto God to mean something. And sometimes in order for that to happen, that decision to forsake something, or that decision to withhold something from myself, or to say no to myself, is going to hurt. It's going to have a cost. It's going to mean something. It's going to have value to it. But it makes the blessing of serving the Lord all the better. And so I want it to mean something. And so I'm not asking God to somehow preserve me or protect me from all the costs. But rather, I want to say amen to the cost. I've counted the cost. I see what this is going to cost. And I say amen because I believe that God has so much better for me than what I could even imagine or think to have for myself. And so I'm going to serve the Lord. And I believe that that is a very deep commitment to the Lord. If Adam and Eve had said, nope. Yeah, he said we could freely eat. So there wasn't anything hindering them from eating it in a sense. But we're not going to eat. Because we know our Lord. We know our God. And we value His relationship with us. We value that time that we have with Him. And so we're willing to sacrifice that opportunity, or that whatever that could bring, or whatever that is, you know, and the devil presents us with it too. Well, what if? And so look at all this, you know. No, no. I want what God has for me. And I choose God. And I choose the cost of that for it. Because I believe that God has so much more for me. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord, and I know that it's going to cost me from time to time some of the things that maybe I would prefer to be in my life, or things that I may think would be better suited for me. But I know God knows best, and I want to serve Him in that. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.